Well, welcome back, everybody. My name is Lisa Ashton, and we are here with Project 44, June 22nd, Accelerator for the Day, and we are going to be finishing up our study of Famous Amos. You also read a little bit in 2 Kings 14 and 15, as well as King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles 26. And we are going to look at Amos and Uzziah today, and I think we're going to learn a few things from both of these men, both the things what to do and some things of what not to do. So let's get started. Well, in our reading today, we begin with a face-off. A face-off between man's appointed priest, Amaziah, and God's appointed prophet, Amos. Well, you see that there's a conflict between these two, and they're both supposed to be religious leaders. So what's the problem? Well, Amaziah is accusing Amos of conspiracy against King Jeroboam of Israel. Amaziah is absolutely furious that Amos has declared exile to Israel, and Amos has also proclaimed the death of Jeroboam. And in fact, Amaziah is so furious that get these words of what he says. He says, "Don't prophesy anymore at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom." Now notice, he didn't say, "This is God's sanctuary." He said, "This is the king's sanctuary." So what does that tell you about his heart? Well, it wasn't about God, that's for sure. And furthermore, for a man to resist a prophet's words was totally against the law of God. And here again is evidence of how we see that Israel is not acting in line with the law of God. If you remember yesterday, in the plumb line vision, a plumb line was to kind of show whether or not a wall was vertical. Israel was likened to a wall on the verge of collapse. And here is another example of how we see that Israel's not acting in accordance with the law, because even at the core of its leadership, they aren't in respect and reverence for the word of God coming through a prophet. Well, what I really appreciate about this portion of scripture is how Amos responds and how he handles the opposition from this religious leader. And I'm amazed at his courage, especially after the priest basically said, and this is kind of like in my Lisa paraphrase, Amaziah kind of said, "Hey, Amos, go back to where you came from. Go do your thing in your own land, but you're not welcome here." Well, Amos counters Amaziah with boldness and conviction, and he claims his authority is from God, and he exhibits true security in who he is. I like it how he says this. Catch this. He says, "I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a shepherd, and I took care of sycamore fig trees. But," catch this now, "but the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people Israel.'" What a stud. Amos says, in Lisa paraphrase, he says, Hey, Amaziah, let's get something straight here. I didn't ask to come prophesy. I didn't ask God to come prophesy. I wasn't even in the family line to do so, but God told me to, so here I am." Now, I don't know about you, but that inspires me. That inspires me to be a follower of Jesus who is more concerned about fearing God than fearing other people, who is more concerned about carrying out what God has called me to do and being who God has called me to be, than worrying about what people think about me. So how about you? Are you someone that is concerned about carrying out God's assignments, regardless of opposition that you get? Amos knew that his calling was divine. Amos knew that his calling was divine, and that is exactly what gave him the courage to stand up to the enemy. And ironically, the enemy was someone who probably should have been on his side. Well, reading on, we see that Amaziah got some consequences for his response to the prophecy, and it is a harsh one. Basically, God answered him with this: "Amaziah, your wife now is going to be shared among other people in the city. Oh, and your children are going to be wiped out, so you're not going to have a legacy. Your land is going to be taken away from you. And if that's not enough, you're going to be exiled into a pagan nation, which is one of the biggest disgraces of them all, because that is going to be among the unclean. And for a priest to be among the clean, the unclean was a huge no-no. And that is exactly where his fate took him. Ouch. That ends in our daily Bible, our Amos reading, and I don't understand why our Amos ended with that passage, but that's reality. So I'm thinking of all that we've studied now in Amos. Let's do a little recap. So let's just say you're in a grocery store someday, and you're going down the cookie aisle, and your friend picks up a box of Famous Amos cookies, and you look at it, and you say, oh my goodness, that reminds me of a 3-day journey we once did on the Minor Prophet of Amos. And your friend looks at you and exuberantly and says, tell me more. And you look at your friend and you say, what would you say? What would you say about Amos? Well, here are a few things of what I think you could say to summarize it up. One, Amos was a prophet called by God who was actually a shepherd and a sycamore fig tree farmer. But he was obedient to prophesy out of his own land. Two, Israel, despite many, many opportunities to repent, continued to rebel against God and not follow in accordance with the law. And so they were going to be able to be judged. And they were judged because of different sins such as materialism, idolatry, social injustice, and kind of guilty of the religious show, meaning they put on a front of doing the right things, but their heart was far from acting godly. And three, even though the book is about judgment against Israel, it ends with hope and it ends with restoration. And I love the words that God says, I will restore David's fallen tent. And meaning, in the end, Jesus was going to come through the line of David, and Israel would once again thrive as a nation. So those are a few things that maybe you could say about Amos. Well, moving on, we see King Uzziah. Just wanted to end with that today. Before we started into Amos, we left off with King Uzziah, who was the king of Judah. And he was like at his prime. He was powerful. He was flourishing. He was successful. And we're like, woo, this is a great man of God, and God is giving him favor. But now, as we revisit Uzziah, this is not the case. And in fact, we see that it's taken a turn for the worse. We read here, after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. Now, the writer of Chronicles does not tell us why Uzziah took it upon himself to usurp the priestly function, which is that he went into the temple to burn incense on the altar. But he did this nonetheless. And since this action was reserved only for the priests, in essence, it's like Uzziah was saying, hey, I got political authority, and now I'm going to take religious authority as well. Huge mistake, Uzziah. Huge. In fact, this was such a huge violation that the priest Azariah had 80 priests, and the Bible says courageously, so they added that adjective in there, he had 80 priests courageously follow Uzziah into the temple. Azariah knew, because Uzziah being the king, he was going to need some extreme backup to confront the king. Okay, so time out. If I was Uzziah, and I was about ready to do something edgy, and I looked behind me, and I saw 81 men of God following me, I think I'd think twice about what I was going to do. But for some reason, Uzziah went ahead and burnt the stuff anyway. His result? Well, he was confronted. He was confronted by an army of priests, and he was given a chance to repent. And instead of repenting, he becomes angry, and he immediately got struck with leprosy. He is ushered out of the temple and placed into a separate house, where we learn that he spends the last years of his life in isolation as a leper, bearing the consequences of his sin. What? I mean, King Uzziah started off, he was described as a man who sought the Lord and a man who did right. in the eyes of God. And now look where he is. It's really pathetic how his life ended. Well, I believe that this is a grave warning to where our pride can take us, especially when things seem to be going really well and life is smooth. King Uzziah was at his prime. He was powerful, but yet somewhere along the line he lost sight of God. He lost his reverence, he lost his fear of God, and he then lost everything as a result of that. This story makes me want to evaluate my own heart. It makes me want to ask God, God, where in my life are there evidences of pride that it can start off growing small and then it can grow so big that it leads me to making a tragic mistake that could ruin my reputation, ruin God's reputation of all, and ruin my life. Maybe that's something you need to think about as well and evaluate your heart. Well, everybody, it's that time. And it's that time to say see you later. And it has been great to walk with you through this journey of Amos. And I want to congratulate you that we are almost at the end of June, which means you are almost halfway through Project 4-4. So I encourage you to keep going strong. And remember that God's Word is alive, it's active, it's fun, it's adventurous, and it can change your life. This is Lisa Ashton. Thanks for joining me, and maybe I'll see you again next time. Bye-bye.